Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the beginning, God breathed. His ruach, his breath, hovered over the face of the deep. And then God said, breathing and speaking. What hovered over the elements of creation? It was God's Spirit, which is his breath, speaking. And since God's Spirit is truth, his speaking is truth. And when God breathes, his Spirit is sent. And thus, when God breathes, truth is uttered. Therefore, when God said, let there be, there was and is the truth. And without God's Spirit speaking, nothing would be that is. That is, without his divine breath, all die. Of course, we know this to be true. Breathing is essential to life. Without breath, all creatures die. Plants breathe in carbon dioxide, or their life would be struggled. Even fish inhale through gills, breathing in oxygen from rich waters. But if those waters become polluted or not, or lack oxygen, the fish cannot breathe and they die. Of course, no different for all mankind. Without the breath of life, we would be lifeless lumps of clay. And without breathing, we die and decay. Just a little over a week ago at the cross, we heard the final words that Jesus spoke. It is finished. And then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit, his breath, his life. That is how it is for God. His word, his spirit, his life all go together. When God speaks, there he breathes. Where God breathes, there is life. Thus at the cross, when the word of God stopped speaking, became silent, and the spirit of God departed, and the breath of life ceased. This was shown with apocalyptic events, signs of the end, the earthquake, and the darkness, and the lifeless corpse of the Son of God. On Good Friday, it is true, the breath of God had left the world. This is why the disciples on Easter evening hid themselves behind locked doors. The life had died, and so their hope with him. His exhale would no longer be heard by them, they thought. They feared their death at the hands of the Jews, just as their Lord and Master had been crucified. The breath of life had departed, and without his voice, their hope for life was gone. Indeed, the hope for humanity was dead. All creation was doomed to destruction. And this is true also of our condition. But we don't always think of it this way. That when we violate God's holy commands, it separates us from God. And thus we cease to receive his life-giving breath. Apart from that breath of God, his Spirit, his Word, we are dead in trespasses, condemned to become inanimate dust and food for worms. As we keep our sin to ourselves, refuse to acknowledge sin as wrong, or even just downplay the seriousness of the corruption, we are doomed to death. As a matter of fact, since we have this condition now, we are dead already. Anyone, innocent though he may seem, is dead to God in trespasses, even though he may breathe now for a time. And what can we dead people do about our condition? Nothing. We are like the bones that Ezekiel saw in the valley, dry and dead bones. For those bones and for us, there is no hope, no future, no possibility of self-improvement. So we think. We might as well bury ourselves like the disciples in a tomb with locked doors. Scared of our enemies, terrified of our sin, fearful of death, mortified by God's holy law. But this too comes from God's speaking of the law, his breath. And he doesn't soft-pedal our condition. calls us Lazarus, buried and rotten. But Good Friday, and so the same for our sin, cannot remain, but continued through a breathless sleep of Holy Saturday, and then the holy week of death ceased. The old passed away, and the new has come. After Jesus rested from his holy week labors, he breathed in again and rose. And with his breathing in also came his breathing out. He breathed out upon Mary Magdalene, comforting her with her own name, Mary. He breathed out the scriptures, opening them to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. He breathed and revealed himself in the breaking of the bread, and they believed. The psalmist says, "When you hide your face, all creatures are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. But when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." There's nothing more terrifying than to think that God has hidden his face from us and stopped speaking. Without his breath, we would die and return to dust. But on Easter morn, and now Easter evening, in today's gospel, we hear of the Spirit of God, his breath, coming, recreating, and renewing. This is why the very first thing that Jesus did when he appeared to the disciples that evening was speak to them. And he did not speak just any word, but the particular, "Peace be with you." It's a very important word. God breathing upon you with peace. And he does this for you by saying, "Your sins are forgiven." How does life and hope come from such simple words, "Your sins are forgiven"? Came through Holy Week and Easter. Christ took all your sin into himself at the cross. He buried it forever in the new tomb of the garden. But because Christ is risen, death was defeated. And therefore you who are in Christ, too, will not die. Your sins have been forever removed. And sin's wage is removed forever, too. This word takes away your sin, which was the cause of your death. Therefore, wherever this forgiveness is proclaimed, life comes. There the Holy Spirit is breathing life into dead things. This word is breath, and therefore gives life. And where there is forgiveness, there is peace and the promise of life everlasting. Jesus had said earlier, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Therefore, these disciples, locked away in the tomb of their making, needed a resurrection of sorts. And Jesus then came to them and breathed on them, his pastors, his church, and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Jesus is giving this command to the disciples for their comfort and for yours. God wants you to hear the preaching of this word and thereby receive the same gifts they received in that room: the Holy Spirit, his breath of life in the forgiveness of sins. The call to repentance and the proclamation of forgiveness of sins are the means that the Holy Spirit uses to bring people from death back to life. God wants you to know that you're like those bones in the valley, your condition, but not for your despair, but for you to receive his salvation, his life. That is to say, his breathy word that he speaks, the announcement of forgiveness, well, it isn't just an announcement. It actually does what it says. When God speaks, it works. And so when you heard those words, "I forgive your sins," they actually delivered Christ's forgiveness to you this morning. And where there is forgiveness of sins, you also have life and salvation. Because where there is forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit is given. And so it was the Holy Spirit this morning who breathed out upon you when your pastor said, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." and that's enough. But not for St. Thomas. St. Thomas wanted more than just words spoken. He did not believe that the speaking of his fellow disciples, their glad tidings, "We have seen the Lord," was a breath of God, the Holy Spirit. Indeed, he resisted their word of testimony. Instead, he made demands to touch and to see the risen body of Christ. On that octave of the first Easter, 8 days later, they were gathered together again. And Jesus entered their locked tomb and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus didn't leave Thomas alone in his unbelief. The Lord came to him and gave to him that same life-giving breath, the forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit. But he also said, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and thrust it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Seeing, though, is not believing. To believe is to know without seeing. Believing only comes from the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, breathing his word into your ears. There's a lesson to be learned here from St. Thomas. You cannot feel forgiven, nor can you see Christ's wounded hands and side. You believe you are forgiven because you have heard the Holy Spirit of Jesus, who has given you faith and hope and life through his word. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And it should be enough. And yet, like Thomas, Jesus knows our condition. He knows the struggles of our flesh. And he comes and he helps our unbelief by combining his word with earthly and tangible means. When you hear that your sins are forgiven, you are being plunged again into your baptismal waters, where sin is washed away and death is drowned. There the Lord touched you with his holy name, placed it on your forehead and on your heart, naming you as sons of God through faith in Christ. And because you are co-heirs with him in baptism, you were declared righteous. All your sin was washed away, cleansed, and you were given the Holy Spirit for faith. Word with means. So also in the Holy Communion, the Lord declares, "Peace be with you," right after the words, "given and shed for the forgiveness of sins." After you eat and drink the body and blood and are thereby forgiven, Christ's Spirit proclaims the peace of God which passes all understanding, and depart in peace. Christ has thrusted his own body into your mouth with those words given for you. Forgiveness and peace flows from the chalice into your mouth, just as it flowed from his pierced side at the cross. Means with the word of forgiveness. Therefore, when you hear the pastor speak, be assured that it is Christ himself forgiving sin and breathing forth his Spirit upon you to revive you, to revive your faith, and to renew you in Christ's righteousness that covers your sin. This is what it's all about. Receiving forgiveness is the reason we gather together. For the Spirit of God has made you, and the breath of the Almighty gives you life. Apart from this breath of life, there is only death. Therefore, your faith desires to have your sin exposed by the law, to be forgiven then by the gospel. Your faith desires the breath of God, his Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to bring you to life again as a redeemed saint and child of God. Your sins are forgiven. Peace be with you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia.